Have you ever started reading a book and got bored at the very beginning on page one? That ever happened to anyone? One person's brave enough to admit it. Certainly happened to me. Matthew begins his account of Jesus with 95 names of 54 different people. Lots of those names are really, really hard to pronounce. It's almost like Matthew is trying to bore us before we've even started reading his book. And yet Matthew 1, verses 1 to 17 are the verses that we're going to be looking at in three short talks this morning. What I want us to see is that actually the first readers of Matthew would have been amazed by what Matthew writes. Those names would have been super exciting for them. They would have seen there that where Jesus has come from shows us what he has come for. And so we're going to see that the king has come to bring his family home. And we're going to look at the king, his family, and his home. And the first talk then is all about the king. Anyone here like The Simpsons? One or two people, yes. Now, one of my favourite bits in The Simpsons is when Ned Flanders tells his children that if they are to meet Jesus, they must remember to call him Mr. Christ. Remember to call him Mr. Christ. What Ned's got wrong there is that Christ isn't Jesus' surname. It's his title. It means king. It tells us that he's royalty. And that's how Matthew introduces Jesus in verse 1, the book of the genealogy, that means the family of Jesus Christ. Here's Jesus, he's king. Now, in case his readers aren't paying attention, Matthew drives this home in verses 7 to 11, and we're going to see these on the screen in a second. There are quite a few kings in verses 7 to 11. I've marked them in red on the PowerPoint. Every time I say a red name, I want you to say wow, because that's the type of thing you say when you meet a king, okay? So let's just practice that. Red name, you say wow. Wonderful. So let's see if you can get the subtle message that Matthew is hinting at. Starting in verse 7. Solomon, wow. The father of Rehoboam, wow. Just keep on coming. And Rehoboam, wow. The father of Abiah, wow. And Abiah, the father of Asaph, and Asaph, the father of Jehoshaphat, and Jehoshaphat, the father of Joram, and Jehoram, the father of Uzziah, and Uzziah, the father of Jotham, and Jotham, the father of Ahaz, and Ahaz, the father of Hezekiah. We're doing good. And Hezekiah, the father of Manasseh, and Manasseh, the father of Amos, and Amos, the father of Josiah, and Josiah, the father of Jeconiah, and his brothers at the time of deportation. Do you get the very subtle message that Matthew is hinting at? They're all kings. David was the first king of Israel. Jeconiah was the last king of Israel before Israel was taken into exile and captivity. This is a royal family. Jesus comes from royalty. Therefore, he is royalty. He is the boy who's not just born to be king, he's the boy who was born as king. Jesus is the king God has been leading all history towards. And that's the point of verse 17. Let me just read verse 17 for you. All the generations from Abraham to David were 14 generations. And from David to the deportation to Babylon, 14 generations. And from the deportation to Babylon to the Christ, 14 generations. All of history has been leading forward to this king being born, Matthew says. God had promised he would bring a king from David's line, and he has. A king who will rule everyone, everywhere, forever. And this king would finally put this world right. He would defeat death. He would forgive sin. He would change hearts. He would conquer evil. He would bring God and man together again. He would put heaven on earth. And he will make all things new. Matthew wants us to see Jesus is the king the world's been waiting for. He's the king the world was made for. And Christmas celebrates that this king has come, truly man, truly God, truly king. Slightly different question this time. It's not just about have you ever stopped reading a book on page one. This time, have you ever embarrassed your family? Be brave. Show of hands. Anyone ever embarrassed their family? Hard for me to do this. I'm on camera. You're not. Has your family ever embarrassed you? Slightly more people nodding their hands. Well, it probably isn't a surprise to you that we all have embarrassing families. Jesus is no different. Jesus' family tree is full of embarrassing people, people who didn't belong, people who did bad things. And yet, even though we sometimes are embarrassed by our family and we try and hide them off or maybe forget about them, Jesus deliberately highlights how embarrassing his family is. He makes sure that we get it, that we see how embarrassing they are, how messed up they are. So let me just show you some examples of that. Look at verses 3 to 6. They'll be on the screen in a second. In verses 3 to 6, Matthew names four women in Jesus' family tree. Now, he's doing lots of things with naming these four women. Here's one of the things he's doing. Tamar, in verse 3, was a Canaanite. She didn't come from Israel. She came from a different tribe. Rahab was a Canaanite, verse 5, as well. Ruth, in verse 5, anyone know where Ruth came from? Moabite, even worse than a Canaanite. And Bathsheba, the wife of Uriah, in verse 6, she was a Hittite, slightly harder that one. These women were all foreigners. They all came from tribes that were Israel's enemies. And because these tribes were Israel's enemies, they were God's enemies. And so by rights, none of these women, none of these tribes belong to God's people. And Matthew is telling us here that Jesus comes from a family of outsiders. A family of people who don't belong. Actually, two of these women weren't just outsiders. They were also victims of great injustice. They suffered great pain. And so we see here they're not just a family of outsiders. They're a family of broken people. It's not a perfect family. Now, to help us just really get this, I'm going to read verses 3 to 6. Every time I say a name in red, someone from an outsider tribe, I need you to say, get out. Okay? So I say an outsider's name and you say, slightly more louder than that. Yeah? But you'll get the hang. So, my eyesight is just about good enough to read that, but I think I'm going to use the Bible instead. Judah, the father of Perez, and Zerah by Tamar.
Get out.
Thank you. And Perez, the father of Hezron, and Hezron, the father of Ram. And Ram, Ram, the father of Amminadab, and Amminadab, the father of Nashon, and Nashon, the father of Salmon. And Salmon, the father of Boaz, by Ruth, by Rahab, sorry. And Boaz, the father of Obed, by Ruth.
Get out.
And Obed, the father of Jesse. And Jesse, the father of David, the king. And David was the father of Solomon, by the wife of Uriah. Well done. By the way, did you notice the one Saxon name in that list? Nashon. Nashon. It's almost Saxon. So here's the thing. We've just said get out to those foreigners. Jesus doesn't say get out. To those who don't belong, Jesus doesn't say get out. He says come on in. And he comes down to us. He becomes one of us to bring us in, to make us his family. The embarrassing, the messed up, the broken, they have their place in Jesus' family. They are welcome. The embarrassing, messed up, and broken family Jesus comes from shows us that Jesus will take anyone to be part of the new family he has come to create. Anyone, no matter how messed up you are, no matter how embarrassing your life is, Jesus will have you if you will have him. So let me show you that just one more time. Has anyone been sent to their room this year because they were naughty? One or two people. Has anyone sent a family member to their room because they were naughty? different set of hands going up. When God's people were bad in the Old Testament, God didn't send them to their room. He sent them somewhere else. He sent them off into exile to Babylon, a different country. And the word that Matthew uses for being sent off into exile is deportation. What would that be in German? Abschleppung, something like that? It's when you're sent out to a different country. So I'm going to read some verses, and every time I say the word deportation, this time you need to say, someone's been bad. You need to notice the phrases are getting harder each time. So let's see if you can do it. Deportation. Very good. So let me read some verses from Matthew 1, and this time it's not coming on the screen. You have to listen. Or maybe it is on the screen, I can't remember. Josiah, the father of Jeconiah, and his brothers at the time of the deportation to Babylon. And after the deportation to Babylon, Jeconiah was the father of Shealtiel, and Shealtiel the father of Zerubbabel. And Jacob, the father of Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom Jesus was born, who is called Christ. So all the generations from Abraham to David were 14 generations. And from David to the deportation to Babylon, 14 generations. And from the deportation to Babylon to the Christ, 14 generations. Here's the point of all of this. The family Jesus comes from shows us the family he's come for. He comes from outsiders, he comes from outcasts, from the bad and those who don't belong and those who are broken, to rescue those who are spiritual outsiders and outcasts and broken and bad, like you and me. The sad truth is that because of our sin, none of us belong by right or birth into God's family. And yet the great and glorious truth is that our disqualifications don't disqualify us from becoming part of God's family. Because Jesus came for people like you and me. So that anyone and everyone who trusts Jesus gets made part of Jesus' family. Someone Jesus is proud to call his brother or sister. If you'll believe in him, if you'll trust him, you're in. And you know what the best thing about that is? Jesus is never embarrassed by his family. He never turns away from us in shame. So what have we seen so far? We've seen that Jesus is the King. We've seen that he's come for a new family. We'll see more of what that means in a little while. We've seen so far that Jesus is the King. We've seen that he has come for his family to rescue us from sin and make us his family. The final thing for us to see this morning is that Jesus has come to bring his family home. And to help us remember this, I don't have anything for you to say. Instead, I need you to put your hands over your head and kind of make a little house shape every time I say the word home. Now, in my slightly desperate imagination in my study, that was a picture of a house and a home. So if it doesn't feel like a house or a home, just humour me. Home. Very good. If you can do that without letting your children fall to the floor, that would also be helpful. Verse 17 gives us a great big hint that Jesus has come to bring his people home. Matthew's readers would have expected verse 17 to go like this. So all the generations from Abraham to David were 14 generations, and from David to the deportation to Babylon, 14 generations, and from the deportation to Babylon to the return from exile, 3 generations. You see, after being sent off to Babylon, Israel did come back. They came back to Jerusalem in 539 BC. Matthew doesn't mention that. That's a little bit like telling the story of the prodigal home, the guy who ran away. Yeah, the prodigal son, the guy who ran away from home. I misspoke. It's like telling that story, but not mentioning that he came home at the end. Or like telling the story of East Germany and its beginning, but not mentioning the reunification. Matthew is telling us that Israel, in fact, that everyone is still in exile. We're without a spiritual home because we have rebelled against God. And that's why life is so strange, so painful and confusing at times. It's why nothing and no one can stop that dull ache that we feel in our hearts. We long to be back home, but we no longer know where that is or who that is. And yet God's plan has always been to bring us back. That's why in these verses, Matthew talks about Abraham. God had promised Abraham that he would save people from all the nations of the world and bring them to himself. that he would bring them home. It's another reason why Matthew includes the four women from different countries. Jesus has people from different countries in his family tree because he's come to bring a family from every nation to his home. And so by not mentioning the return from exile, Matthew is telling us that Jesus will bring his family out of exile. He will bring us back home. Yeah, very good. And so you see, the family Jesus has come from shows us the family he's come for. People who don't deserve to belong, he comes to bring them to where he lives. Yeah. And Matthew spells this out in just a few more details. He does this in verse 1. Verse 1 begins like this: the book of the genealogy. Now that fancy word genealogy, remember, we said it's like the book of the family. Literally, it's the book of origins. And Matthew's taken those words from the first book of the Bible, Genesis. In Genesis, that phrase comes up twice. The first time describes God creating this world as a place for humanity to live with him in it. This world is to be our home with God. Tragically, the phrase is also used in Genesis 5 to describe us in our homeless exile, sentenced to death, banished from God's presence, to live in a world of disease and disaster and darkness and death. And so by linking Jesus to the creation of the world and linking Jesus to our fall into sin, Matthew's telling us that Jesus has come to undo these things and to redo these things. Jesus is going to undo our fall into sin, and he's going to redo creation and make this world new, make it a new place for us to live, a new creation. And this is how Matthew's gospel ends, isn't it? This new creation, this new home, is how Matthew's gospel ends. Jesus rising from the dead as the beginning of the new creation, and rising to share his new creation life with all who will trust him. Rising from the dead and saying that even though he then goes off to heaven, he will not stay in heaven forever, but he will come again to this world and make this world new, and give it to us as our home. A home which will be perfect and pure and unspoilt and unpolluted. A home that will be better than anything you and I can ever have imagined. A place where you and I will truly belong. That is what Christmas is, the beginning of Jesus coming to do. You see, Jesus is the King who has come for his family to bring us home. Let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, we want to thank you so very much for Christmas. Thank you, Father, just for the amazing love that the Lord Jesus has shown us. That he would come for us to be our King, not the King that we deserve, but the King that we so desperately need. That he would come for us to make us his family, not the family he deserves, but the family we long to be. I thank you so very much that he plans to make this world new and to make it our home and his home. Thank you that we shall live with him forever. Father, we thank you so very much for the message of Christmas. In Jesus' name, amen.